I'm Paul Lancour with PodTech.net.
It shifts the culture for the organizations that are using this computing environment.
That's Frederic Veron, Managing Director at Bearing Point, talking about moving to a utility computing model. He says it's a true shift in the way an enterprise views the role of computing in the organization. I started our conversation by asking Frederic to define terms for us.
What we call utility computing is a computing environment that provides on-demand computing infrastructure to all applications and users in the enterprise that is delivered automatically over the network on a subscription fee basis and with differentiated services. So there is a number of aspects here that are really key. One is that it's on-demand. Two is that it's a shared infrastructure. Three, that it is as automated as possible. And four is that you have a service model attached to it, which allows the users to subscribe to it and then allows the organization to provide and deliver services that are differentiated in terms of performance, in terms of key characteristics.
And what are the key challenges that an organization would face when making this move to a more utility computing model?
Challenges are from different angles. Obviously, there is a technical challenge because solutions associated with the utility computing architecture are not all mature, and pieces of the solution tend to be somewhat innovative and emerging still. So there is the technology aspect. But beyond the technology, and probably more importantly, it requires the organization to transform its model, its business model, and service delivery model to actually be efficient in the delivery of such services. And that transformation is something that needs to happen in an environment that lowers the risk as much as possible, which makes it quite difficult to manage.
So it sounds like, although there is a large technological component to this, that it really is more of an organizational cultural shift that needs to take place along with the new technology.
Absolutely. And that's that combination that makes it even more difficult.
So what are the processes that need to be in place in order to make this happen?
Well, there's a number of processes. We tend to use ITIL as kind of a starting point, but it's just to kind of frame some of the processes to be looking at. But there are other processes that tend to be a bit more operational in nature. And frankly, the ones that are also important are the ones that pertain to the servicing of this environment. So everything that would even sound a little bit marketing are actually quite important, which is the part that I was mentioning a bit earlier, which is around defining the services, the computing services that would be delivered to the organization, as well as defining their key characteristics, features, if you will, and finally defining their pricing so that the user can actually pick and choose what platform is best for their application at the right price point for them. So if you want to look at it, the center circle here is ITIL, and a number of operational processes which are very typical in a computing environment, such as provisioning, decommissioning, build-out of servers and systems, testing, etc., capacity management, performance management, capacity planning, configuration management, etc. But more importantly, I think people need to also look at the outer circle of that process map, which really focus more on the servicing and marketing aspect of the utility.
And then from a personnel point of view, what people do you need to have in place in order for this to work well?
So the people are probably the same people that are today in the organization. There are a number of technologies that are going to be introduced, and therefore their skill set has to be updated and refreshed, and training has to happen. But the people themselves would probably be the same. There are going to be some new functions added to the organization, and those could be people that are coming from the organization and are just being retooled or a new hire. One of the impact of utility computing that we work with clients is that actually there is an entire optimization of the organization. And beyond the skill set and tool sets, looking at where the people are located and how the process is working, how you decompose that process, and potentially how you could displace some component of the process to regions or area in the world that are slightly cheaper would actually be something that an organization would want to do, because they would obviously drive some benefits out of there. And those benefits are mainly coming from the labor arbitrage. So the people is impacted, but the entire organization is actually optimized overall.
So again, more of a cultural shift than an actual change in personnel.
Yes, and when you talk about cultural shift, it's really beyond the organization that typically operates and manages this environment. It really also shifts the culture for the organizations that are using this computing environment, especially in the application development groups, or also known as the CIO groups in the business units. They will have a different interaction with the central or shared organization that typically delivers such systems, to request those systems, to access those systems, to use them, and to be charged back as well. So that interaction is changing quite a bit from an environment where they typically involve this shared organization towards the end of their process of the SDLC lifecycle. They are going to now try to move this up and engage this organization much earlier in the process. And then this organization now has at its disposal a number of tools that would allow them to deliver and provision servers and systems much faster. So the interaction will be much more fluid and actually more on real-time basis. Before, in the old world, an application that would require systems would typically tend to ask for those systems a bit later in the SDLC process, and then would have to wait for quite some time, 60 days, 90 days, or even more, to get that system in, up and running. So obviously, this new framework and this new approach to computing is very beneficial for both parties.
And as we move into this new world, once again, what kind of standards do we need to apply for technology?
So the standards are going to be very critical, because you want to standardize as much as you can your computing environment. It's a pretty basic statement. And for an organization to do so, they need to define what typically engineers in those organizations refer to as standard stacks. Those standard stacks have a number of components, from the hardware level to the OS level to the software level, and you can find organizations that have tens of those. It's one thing to have tens of those and to have them documented. It's another thing not to even have those documented. So there is the maturity here, and the more mature you are, the more documented and the more you can enforce them, the better off you are. Obviously, having less of them is quite important as well. Now, there is no standard prerequisite, if you will, to move into this particular mode, into this particular framework. There is no limitation in terms of hardware. There is no limitation in terms of OS. And it can be, because the whole point is for an organization to pretty much include all of its IT computing assets. So whatever they're using needs to be part of this framework and part of this transformation. There are tools and software solutions that allow and help organizations to better manage their computing assets. And some of these tools do have limitations in terms of the OS they support, or the level of software that they support, or even sometimes the hardware they support. But obviously what an organization such as our clients would do is to deliver and define a map of tools that would fulfill the requirements and support all the different standard stacks.
So when moving toward a utility computing model, what kind of service options should an organization be thinking about? And then how will those service options be delivered ultimately to the users?
In terms of deployment of such solutions, typically large organizations are looking at this because they're the ones that have a large number of distributed systems and would have a significant impact on the financials, much, much greater than the ones for the small organizations. So a large organization with various systems will look at an implementation plan that is going to be, by definition, lengthy, complex, and quite large. And therefore, the only way this is going to be successful is by breaking it down into more manageable pieces that have specific value attached to them. To transform to such a degree an environment that has tens of thousands of servers, we're talking about a year, 2 years, 3 years. Therefore, one needs to look at the entire set of activities that need to happen to produce value very early in the program. We break it down into a portfolio of activities or a portfolio of services, if you will. And in that portfolio, with a number of threads very well defined that will be aligned with the different components we talked about before, such as technology, people, operations and processes, financials, etc. We're talking about a number of threads here with a number of projects in each of these threads that will constitute a portfolio. And one needs to manage that as a portfolio with its ups and downs and overall getting the organization towards its end goal. The first aspects are specific around understanding the application environment, understanding their requirements, understanding their architecture. But we should not look at it as a monolithic component because organizations such as those have thousands of applications and small organizations probably hundreds of applications, and these applications are always changing and evolving. So you've got to have a process by which you can actually do an application review on a regular basis so you understand what application can move to the utility versus the ones you can't move to the utility and create a prioritization schema to go one by one in the right order. That's one aspect of it. In parallel to this, you also need to understand your current environment and your standard stacks so that you can actually evolve this environment towards your end-state architecture, a piece at a time. In this area, we believe that, and we've experienced that, it is very unlikely to create one single utility. Actually, it's impossible to have one single utility at the beginning and use it until the end. The notion here is that an organization will create a number of utilities that will be specialty utilities, for instance, a utility around WebLogic, for instance, or a database utility around, an Oracle database. We had another client using, for instance, SQL 2005 utility. Those are specialty utilities that will be created throughout the organization and will be servicing the application environment on an as-needed basis. Case by case, the application owner will do a business case and will see that they can lower their cost of implementation by accessing those utilities. As time goes, the utility is being more and more used, and therefore its unit cost is going down, and the entire utility takes over the total environment, computing environment of the organization.
So it sounds to me like you're saying it's not about taking a snapshot of where we are right now and finding a solution to that, but it's about building into that solution a dynamism that will allow it to continue to meet the needs of the computing
exactly.
needs.
It's not like a systematic and sequential waterfall process. It is more an evolving process, an evolving transformation, and you get to build it, frankly, a bit at a time.
And some of the research bears out the need for this with some of these larger organizations you're talking about with tens of thousands of servers. When one looks at the use of processing power or storage utilization, the numbers for some of those organizations are pretty staggering how underutilized it is.
Yes. Overall in the industry, what we've experienced is typically on the server side, it's anywhere between less than 10%, probably all the way to 50-60% on average. Obviously, some areas and some servers are used at a higher utilization rate, like around 80-90%. But if you were to look at a typical environment which has 10,000 plus servers, those servers are averaging about 20% utilization. On the storage side, there are multiple ways of computing the storage utilization, but overall, it's also very much underutilized. And the issue with storage, and to some extent the server as well, is that once a disk is allocated, or some space on the disk is allocated to an application, let's say a terabyte, because the application owner and the business folks have identified that they will probably need that space to support the volume of transaction associated with this application, once it is allocated to this application, there is no easy way, and definitely not automated way, to reclaim that space. So if, for instance, the application is only using half of it, the other half will never be reused. Reclaiming the space is possible, but it's a very manual and hard process to go through, and you typically have to shut down the application to move it somewhere else while you're reclaiming the space, which doesn't make it very easy for the technology folks to do that at the right time. So once the storage is allocated, it is there. And the result of this is that, A, the storage space is growing year after year. We've seen numbers from 30% to 60% at organizations. And what is adding to this is actually it's not being used very much. So it's higher cost, still very low utilization, overall a pretty low return on asset in this area.
What about the role of virtualization in this? What role is it playing now? And then what promise does it hold out to make utility computing that much more efficient in the future?
Virtualization is one technology that is quite well known or has been known for some time now and is coming to a point where it's rather mature. What virtualization allows technologies to do is on one single physical box or one physical server, they can implement multiple systems, multiple virtual servers. And those virtual servers would look like to a user exactly like a regular physical server, and they would not know the difference. Those servers would be separated from one another through the virtualization technology. There's a number of terms that people use in this area, such as zones or containers, etc. But pretty much the notion is that it creates the ability to have multiple machines, virtual machines, if you will, running on a physical machine, which would allow the IT organization to implement multiple applications on one single machine, where before it would have been a bit more difficult, and they would have had potential application resource conflict. Here, they can separate the applications and therefore have an environment that runs much more smoothly.
Anything else you'd like to share with our listeners on this podcast about utility computing?
Utility computing is a term that people tend to use for a technical solution. Our experience shows that while the technical solution is critical for its success, you have to take into account all the different pieces, and it's a real transformation. So it's not only technology, it's also around the service model and the ability of the organization to service its users. It's around the business model and how you charge back computing power to the users. And by the way, when I talk about computing, it's computing plus all of its accessories, if you will. Not only the machines, but where the machine resides, the facilities, the power, etc. So there is a number of components there that need to be taken into account. And it's transforming the way that the different technology groups in an organization are going to look at computing, are going to look at capacity, and are going to plan this capacity going forward. So when one looks at utility computing, or at least the way we understand utility computing and we work with our clients on utility computing, you've got to look at all these different aspects. Overall, there is a tremendous opportunity out there to reduce cost significantly, because over the years, the distributed systems have grown 20%, 30% year over year. And the utilization is so low that there is an opportunity to reduce the number of systems and still have the same computing capabilities. Initial numbers on business cases are quite astonishing. The return is very high. The transformation is not an easy one, but it is possible, and we believe that this is going to be a revolution in the technology area for the next years to come.
Frederick, thank you very much for taking out the time to speak with us today.
You're very welcome. Have a good day.
Frederick Verone is Managing Director at Bearing Point.